Take my lips and speak through them. Take each and every one of our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to be alone. I want to be alone. Those words, that line from the film Grand Hotel, that has forever defined the film actress Greta Garbo. The American Film Institute voted it to be the 30th most memorable line in movies. And just so you don't spend the rest of the service worrying what was the first, it was, of course, "Here's looking at you, kid," from Casablanca. I want to be alone. I just want to be alone. Haven't we all said those words or thought them in our lifetime? In times of sorrow or joy, when the news we've heard is too hard to bear, too overwhelming, too difficult to talk about except in our own private world. I just want to be alone, to think, to accept or reject, to work things out, or to pray. And as we continue in this summer series, in the early chapters of Mark's Gospel, we see that prayer was exactly why Jesus wanted to be alone. It had been an eventful and crowded and draining Sabbath day in Capernaum, as Mark tells us. Teaching in the synagogue, driving out an impure spirit, healing Peter's mother-in-law. And then in the evening, an extraordinary release of power in physical and mental healing. Look at verse 32. The Message Bible puts it like this: "That evening, after the sun was down, they brought sick and evil afflicted people to him. The whole city lined up at his door. He cured their sick bodies and tormented spirits." I suspect a little artistic license there. Let's assume it was as if the whole city of Capernaum had lined up at his door. A vast number of ill and troubled people for whom Jesus instantly showed mercy by offering healing of mind and body and spirit. An extraordinary outworking of supernatural power. And such outworking undoubtedly took its toll on Jesus' own mind and body and spirit. Perhaps when we were children, we had the idea of Jesus walking around first century Palestine and creating miracles with a word or a touch, as a conjurer might do with a magic wand, and feeling no after effects. But of course, we know from the Gospels that such healing did have an effect on Jesus. Later in his Gospel, Mark talks about the woman suffering from an issue of blood who touched his cloak and was healed. But, Mark says, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. And as he lived on earth at this part of his life, before he ascended and was glorified, Jesus was acting as a kind of human reservoir of God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit, who, particularly since His baptism by John in the Jordan was now an integral part of his life. Supernatural power, with the ability to heal physical and spiritual afflictions and change the elements of nature. But still with all the limitations and weaknesses of a human body. Which is why, as the old song says, Jesus knows all about our struggles. He knows because he experienced, while he was on earth, the frailties of the human condition. So Jesus needs time to recharge his spiritual batteries, to pray to the God he calls Abba, Daddy. And as verse 35 tells us, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. He wanted to be alone, to be recharged, to find support, to find guidance, to have confirmation that he was on the right track, doing, as he once expressed as a child, what his father wanted, being about his father's business. And that business was not, as his little group of followers thought when they found him or hunted him down, which is perhaps a better translation, to return to the scene of the previous day's triumphs and bathe in the adulation of the crowd. No, that was never Jesus' way. Popularity was never his priority. His priority was to preach the message of the kingdom of God that we heard about two Sundays ago in verses 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And to put that priority into practice, Jesus replies to his hunters, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come. The result of his prayer in a solitary place was to confirm that he was on the right track, to find peace in his Father's love, to be refreshed by the uplifting power of the Holy Spirit. Memorably, he was to do that again on a certain night in a certain garden, on the eve of an act on a certain cross, which, if we believe in him, has changed all our lives forever. So we too can find those things, guidance, peace, power, in solitary prayer. Of course, praying together is good, and Jesus commended it, and we have plenty of opportunities here at All Saints. But he also commended the kind of prayer he practiced when times were tough. As he tells us in Matthew 6, before he introduces us to the Lord's Prayer, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And if we follow that advice, we will be sure to get our priorities right in our Christian life, and we will never be alone again. Amen.